You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Focus on the Family, Family Values.
We are continuing our Focus on the Family series this year, talking about values, talking about family values, but family values start with individual values. For those of you who were here last week, how many of y'all have already started working and doing on your value hierarchy and having conversations about it? Have you? Okay, some of you have. I would really encourage you to do that because this is some really, really good stuff. Pastor Marsh and I, we were talking about the fact that we would have been, there's a lot of bumps that and things that we've come over and we've come through. And whatever we go through, we're going to come over and go through. But then we realized there was a lot of things that we could have avoided. Yep. if we had someone teach us this kind of stuff. Yes. Early on.
Oh my gosh.
In our marriage and in the early days of our marriage and even before we got married, understanding about value. You look like you're so much taller than
me.
See
that?
There
that
we better. Go. That's better. There we go. All right.
I don't know,
so
down again.
When we talk about values, we're talking about the things, the concepts, the ideals that are most important to you in life. And we're talking about these concepts, these. He wants to be a comedy duo tonight. Okay. We're talking about a person's principles, your standards of behavior, your judgment about what is important in life. And so we said that values determine your priorities. Once you know, I saw somebody, just a random tweet by somebody or something that I subscribe to on Twitter, talking about how decisions are easier once you know your values. Decisions, and we have, and I'm in the prior, in the coming weeks, I'm going to talk about value decision making or value decision making. We'll get to that. But values determine your priorities. And Jesus tried to, the Bible tells us from Jesus' perspective, from a Christian perspective, what our priorities ought to be. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to us. We found out that values determine your spending. So when Jesus said in Luke 12:33 and 34, sell what you have, give alms. And for where your treasure is, there your heart is. Your treasure is your money. Your heart means your passion or your values. Where you put your money is an indication of what's most important to you. We found out that values determine relationships. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today, because Jesus said the first and primary relationship for a Christian ought to be our relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, listen, we can all say amen to that. But one of the things I really want us to do as we talk of this thing, values, I really want you to see if your life is really lining up with what you say is important to you. I mean, because we talked about value alignment, and we talked about value integrity, being integral to your values. Because it's one thing, Jesus said this. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Jesus saying, you say I'm your Lord, but that's not how you live your life. And so in talking about this, we really want to talk about, look at how we are lining our lives up and what's the not only actions, not only what we say, but the actions, whether they're lining up or not lining up with our values, because that's what your children are seeing. Okay. I've had people around me. I know what they say they believe, but I can look at behavior and say that's just not consistent. And so you gotta be real intentional about that. Otherwise, whether you, without even trying to, or that you're not being deliberate to do this, but you end up looking like a hypocrite. That the things you say just simply don't line up with how you really live your life. Okay? And so even Paul spoke of values. Paul said that we ought to, in Colossians 3:2, we ought to think of the things that are above, not of things that are on the earth. He said so. Spiritual things ought to take precedent over natural things. He's talking about values. On the other hand, Paul didn't value marriage much. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you look at the scripture, Paul said, I wish everybody would like me and not be married. And Paul said, first in Paul's life was the Lord and his ministry, pleasing God. And he tried to discourage people from getting married. He said, I'm telling you, you can go and get married if you want to. He said, but I'm telling you, you're going to have trouble in your flesh. Okay? And Paul said, you know, you can avoid all that. Just don't get married. But because that was not a, and then he tells us, he says, but when you do get married, your priority is going to have to change. He said, because if you're not married, you can just please the Lord, and Pastor Marcia can stay up all night in her chair. We have an area of our house. I call it the prophetess quarters. That's her area of the house. And she could just stay up there all night, every night, just talking to Jesus if she was single. But since she's married now, I have to tell her sometime, tell Jesus he got to wait. You got some other stuff you got to do, and tell Jesus you talk to him later.
Like hold hands,
right. Mm-hmm. You're going to come down here, and we're going to pray together. As the old Baptist preacher say, can you pray with me a little while? Okay? But all that's a matter of, you know, your values change based upon marriage. You know, I'm a big advocate. When I have single people working in the ministry, volunteers, and on staff, I will work you to a frazzle, because I know when you get married, that's coming to an end. Okay? It's going to change. I watch it over. People say it don't, and it naturally is going to, because you have different loyalties now. You have other priorities. Okay? But you single people, you don't have to worry about fornicating. Just work in the ministry. You'll be too tired. Okay? And only if you're fornicating, this is because you ain't working in the ministry and you're not busy enough. If you stay busy enough in the work of the Lord, somebody try to make a late night call and you say, child, what's wrong with you? I got to go to church and I just came from a meeting. The devil is a liar. And go on about your business somewhere. Mm-hmm. All right? So let's move on, because this week let me just still review real quick. Values determine what you pursue. David pursued worship because he valued worship. He said, one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. I can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's Psalms 27:4. Solomon valued wisdom. Proverbs 4:7. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. See, what's your values is what you're going to go after. Mm-hmm. What you're going to pursue. All right. I want to talk tonight and start off talking about values and relationships. Let me see it again, the single people I have here. Okay. Let me help y'all understand how I classify single. I don't care if you got a boo or a bae. If you are not married, you are single. Christians, listen, y'all really need to get this. You'll stay out of trouble if you would realize I'm very serious about this. Until you get married, you are single. I don't care what Facebook status say. I got a bae. I got a boo. I'm in a relationship. You are single. You are single until you get married. All right? So let me try it again. How many single people do we have here?
More hands went up.
Thank you. I think more hands went up. Because people tell me, I got a boo. Okay. So in relationships, values will either cause one of three things. This is how it affects relationships. It'll cause accountability. It'll cause conflict, or it'll cause compromise. So when it comes to relationships, your values will either cause compatibility, conflict, or compromise. Let's talk about that first one. Compatibility. Compatibility means, they fit together.
Right.
There's, like berries on the vine. We sweet all the time. I mean, it's just comes together like a glove that fits, not like the OJ glove. See, because the OJ glove didn't fit. And if it doesn't fit, what happens?
Must have quit.
All right. Don't ever forget that. All right. But when it's compatible, I mean, that's your glove. I mean, people talk about when it's compatible, you just fit together and feel like this is a soulmate. Watch this. It's easy. Easy like Sunday morning. I mean, when you got the same values, you want to go to church?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You want to pray?
Let's pray. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Eko boshata. Shanda rabasa. Oh yes, kebasa. And yay my spirit. You see, that's how it is when you're compatible. Everything just flows together. There's no conflict. There's no argument about if you're going to church again.
That's good. That's good.
Well, how long y'all going to be there? See, when you got compatible values,
yeah.
you don't have argues about the things that you're passionate about.
That's good.
Okay?
That's good.
And so Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So ideally, in relationships, you want to have compatible values. Okay? We even realize, and again, these are things we probably, if we had this kind of teaching, we would have talked about more. I didn't come from a very close family. My family, you know, every man for himself and God for us all. You know what I'm saying? So when I came down south and I saw how y'all give money to family members, to grown folks and all this stuff, it baffled me because I wasn't used to that. I'm like, grown folks, you take care of yourself, even that is your brother or your sister. You work it out, with the exception of emergency situations kind of thing. And a lot of this has to do with how I was raised, okay, because children are a reflection of how they're raised.
Yeah.
I didn't know my brothers and sisters' birthdays, okay? So we didn't celebrate birthdays in the house. Now, all of my kids, all y'all know each other's birthday, right? Yeah. But we, you know, our house, we celebrate each other. I don't remember that my sisters and brothers, we had a birthday cake because it's so-and-so's birthday today and all that kind of stuff. And so as a result of that, you know, so I realize now me moving to Maine, when the opportunity came, even though I was moving up there to work with an uncle and I didn't know him, it wasn't about me going to be with family. It was about an opportunity for money. And looking back on it now, and Marcia was pregnant with Chandler, our first child, but I took off to move to Maine. I wasn't thinking about that, man, it would be really good to have aunts around and cousins around and a grandmother, because that wasn't a value for me. Now I understand why the whole time we riding up there, 6 hours north from New Jersey on 95, she's sleeping and crying. She went, and I said, what's going on? I said, we ain't going to China.
Right.
We moving 6 hours away, yeah. Due north on 95, okay? But knowing how she felt about her family now, you understand? I understand now what the problem, but back then I'm like, you grown. We grown, you know, we going to be all right because we had different values about family. Some of the conflicts you're having, they don't value family like you value family.
That's good. Yeah.
Why you talk to your mama again? Okay. My daughter was one time talking to a guy and he called me up and went off on me and then told my daughter, you know, I put your father in place. Now we can go on now. My daughter said, you did what? Oh, this can't happen. This is over now. See, you understand? He didn't understand the place of a father.
Right.
And so he thought that he could go off on me to show he proved to my daughter he a man. And then we just go on business as usual. Okay? And he didn't have the same value of a father that she had. A lot of conflicts y'all have in relationships, you don't have the same values. And y'all approaching it from all this way about, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? What's it? You shouldn't be doing. And you really need to, somebody needs to articulate, you know what? This is really important to me.
Yeah.
this is a value in my life. Mm-hmm. My family and me having a close relationship with my mother or my father, or what my father thinks or my mother thinks, is really important to me. I value their opinion. Or you follow what I'm saying? So you got to have a talk about these areas where you're not in agreement.
Right.
And in some cases, you really need to take a second look in terms of when you're going together and going to get married, how this is going to work. Because if there's no compatibility there, then it's going to cause conflict. Mike Murdoch, he has a any of y'all got any Mike Murdoch's books? Okay, you know he got a million and one little books. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to be careful because they'll all say the same thing if you can't careful. Okay, but I'm just going to tell you, much love, Mike. I've given a lot of money to your ministry over the years. So don't get mad at me, okay? And I bought these books. But this is called Wisdom Commentary. It's volume one and volume two. If you ever get these, you got everything. All in one, two books, okay? But, and so all of them pretty much are summarized in here. In chapter 10 of the Wisdom Commentary, volume one, he has a chapter on dating, which comes from another little book entitled 47 Reasons to Think Twice Before Marriage. 47 Reasons to Think Twice. So that sounds to me like 94 reasons to think. Y'all get it? If it's 47 times 2, ain't that 94? So it looked like 94 reasons to think twice before get married, if you say, okay. But here's one of them he talks about, number four, which goes along with this teaching about values. He says, think twice if they have not been captivated by what captivates you. Think twice if they have not been captivated by what captivates you. Several years ago, a lady excited me. Yet the relationship struggled. Something could not seem to catch fire. She didn't enjoy sitting with me when I wrote my books. She enjoyed play far more than the presence of the Holy Spirit in the secret place. And a minister friend of mine explained gently to me, Mike, she simply has not been captivated by what captivates you. So here's the quote. It is not enough for your mate to be captivated by you. They must be stirred by the same thing that stirs you. That's compatibility of values.
Yeah.
It's not enough for your mate to be captivated by you. They must be stirred by the same thing that stirs you. Otherwise, the things that you get excited about are going to bore them. The things that bore them, you're going to get excited about it. Now, here's the other thing. We talked about this afternoon. So you can resolve that. You can resolve that by saying, hey, you do your thing. Mm-hmm. I do my thing. Mm-hmm. Okay? I like action movies. You like dramas. So you go in the living room. I go in the bedroom.
Right.
Okay? And what happens, and it looks, you think you got peace. Because y'all have nothing in common. You don't agree on your values. So we keep peace by you doing your thing, I do my thing. So on Saturdays I go out with the boys, and you go to the mall. But know what happens over time? You grow apart.
Yeah.
Because you're not growing together.
Yeah.
And you don't have intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all this separate, independent life, to try to counter the fact that you have different values, makes you grow apart. Yeah. And not have intimacy. And then one doesn't know really anything about the other person, because you all avoid anything that is not compatible. Want to say anything about that?
I mean, just exactly what you said, but then also you become comfortable with being apart. Become comfortable by living separate lives. So when you do have a time to be intimate, you're uncomfortable with intimacy because it's something you don't practice. And that's a bad place to be. Now it's easy to separate because you've never been together anyway.
Mm. That's good. So the second thing, so your values, so either you're going to have compatibility or you're going to have conflict. Conflict is that basically we realize we're clashing. We're together, but we're clashing. And the Bible talks about this in terms of, in 1 Corinthians 7, 13 through 15, it talks of, now let me give you the context. The context here is that Paul is writing to new Christians, these people who were Greeks, who weren't raised in the church. They didn't know the law, the Ten Commandments, and the laws of Moses. He's teaching them all these new principles. And in this case, you know, he might be preaching in a public square somewhere and then make an altar call, give people an opportunity to receive Jesus. And so somebody gets saved. So he gets saved. She gets saved. They go back home now. And now they tell their heathen husband, heathen wife, I'm born again. I'm saved now. And so this is the context that Paul's talking about. He's not talking about intentionally marrying somebody who's not a believer, which bottom line, you should not do. Now, look at your neighbor and say, this is not a cult. I always remind you about that. Because, see, in a cult, if the leader tell you to do something and you don't do it, you will get beat. You will be put in prison. Ostracized. Okay? You'll be ostracized. He'll turn everybody else against you. And y'all know some churches that try to operate like that, too. But that's cultish. In this church, I give you the word, you make your own life decisions. It's too many of y'all for me to try to control. So I'm just going to tell you, you should not marry an unbeliever. All right? You can do it if you want, because you're free agent. You should not marry an unbeliever. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, there is no yoke like a marriage yoke.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay? Every other yoke you can take authority over. I break the yoke.
In the name of Jesus,
the marriage yoke is
like
not
that.
To be broken, and it ain't going to be broken because you bind the yoke. And so there's no other yoke like the marriage yoke.
Yeah.
When you yoke the marriage, you show enough yoked. Okay? And so the Bible said, been unequally yoked, hooked up with unbelievers. Now, let me give you this, too. Now we're talking about these values. There's what... what did Carolyn Leaf say? If you listen to that, she called it an atheistic Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
An atheistic Christian. That's a Christian who acts more like an unbeliever than a believer.
But
you act more like an unbeliever, and you say you're a Christian, but I don't believe this, and I don't believe that, and I don't believe in tongues, and I don't believe prayer gonna work, and I don't believe in tithing. You are atheistic Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. And so there's unbelievers who don't believe in Jesus, and then there's believers who don't believe in Jesus like you believe in Jesus.
Right.
Those are the ones who say it don't take all that. Don't take all this praying. Don't take all this tithing. It don't take all this being under the word. It don't take, those are unbelieving believers. And I don't care what you say, you're yoked with an unbeliever. In this case, these are people who didn't enter into this voluntarily, but because one or the other got saved before the other. And so Paul talks about this, 1 Corinthians 7, starting verse 13. He says, if a believing woman has a husband, this is a New Living Translation. If a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. Did I just see somebody do like this? Did I see somebody do that? Okay. So just because he didn't get saved yet, it says you must not leave him. Verse 14, for the believing wife, traditional King James says is sanctified. For the believing wife brings holiness to a marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are holy. Okay? And by the way, all of you who got parents, you need to confess that over your children.
Yeah.
According to the word of God, I have holy children. I have sanctified children. That's what the word says about my children, according to 1 Corinthians 17 and verse 14. Okay? Verse 15. But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insist on leaving, the Bible says, say, go on. Go on then. Just go on. Okay, it says, if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insist on leaving, let them go. In such cases, the believing husband or wife is no longer bound to the other. Why? Here's what I want you to see. For God has called you to live in peace. Now, I don't teach about this real often. I don't want to go deep into it. But sometimes peace got to be a higher value.
Order this powerful series today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Focus on the Family, Family Values.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.